All right, I will call to order the City of Tacoma Planning Commission meeting for Wednesday, September 6th. First item is the quorum call. Do we have a quorum present?
Yes, you do.
Great. And I am not going to get used to this speaker system. Okay. I feel like I'm talking down a well. All right, item B on our agenda, the approval of the agenda and the minutes. So start with the agenda for tonight's meeting. Is there a motion that we approve it?
So moved.
And has been moved and seconded that we approve tonight's agenda. Is there any discussion on that? All those in favor of approving the agenda say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The agenda is approved. Turning to the minutes, we have two sets of minutes from the meetings of August 2nd and August 16th. And they are separately stapled in our packets. Very long meetings. Where is John? Thank you, John. Excellent job on the minutes.
Yes.
Do we have a motion before us on them?
I move we approve the minutes.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes from August 2nd and August 16th. Is there any discussion? Seeing no indication that anyone wants to discuss, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The minutes from August 2nd and August 16th are approved. We have the item C on our agenda is normally public comments. Since the entire topic of our meeting tonight is a public hearing, we will be dispensing with the separate public comment component. So that brings us to item D1, our public hearings. The first item on our public hearing docket tonight is marijuana use buffers code amendments. So, all right, I have cheat notes that I follow for introducing the public hearing process. So we will officially call to order the public hearing on proposed code amendments concerning marijuana use buffers. First, I'll ask, is there anybody here for this agenda item for the marijuana use buffers code amendments? Okay. All right, thank you. So, the public hearing is being recorded. Those who wish to testify should sign up at the entrance to the room where the staff report and pertinent materials for the public hearing are also made available. The hearing will be conducted as follows. Staff will provide a brief presentation on that projector right there. I will call for oral testimony. There is a sign-up sheet at the entrance to be used, and I'll follow that in the order that people signed up. Testimony will be limited to 3 minutes. Your testimony should be brief. It's not necessary to repeat testimony that's been previously given by other members of the public. After the oral testimony, the public hearing record will remain open to accept written comments until next Monday, September 11th at 5 p.m. The Planning Commission will consider all oral and written testimony at subsequent meetings and then forward a recommendation to the City Council. The City Council may hold a study session, it will hold a public hearing, and then make a decision thereafter. So, Mr. Li Wang Wong from the City of Tacoma Planning and Development Services Department will be making a presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And first, apologize for the room setup. This is about the best we can do. The screen may not be big enough and for everybody to see, so I will try my best to go over. I have only 5 slides very quickly to introduce the subject of the public hearing. Which is the proposed code amendment concerning marijuana use buffers. Specifically, the proposal would amend the Tacoma Municipal Code, or TMC, section 13.06.565 concerning marijuana use by adding local definitions of playground and recreation center or facility, and including Metropolitan Parks District in the ownership chart for these two types of facilities. More clearly, this slide is obviously not for everybody to read, but this is the entire text of the proposed amendment, and I will explain quickly. The proposal is to add to the existing code language, which is in white, the first three lines, the following lines in yellow. And so this particular subsection of the code says that the city will refer to the state definitions of terms when it comes to marijuana uses. And the proposal is to not only defer to the state definitions, but also spell out two definitions for two types of facilities. A, playground, B, recreation center or facility. So what you see here underlined yellow, those are taken directly from the existing state law definitions. What we are doing, the proposed amendment, is to add local definitions. And right here, you can see, oh, it doesn't hover over. So at the end of A and at the end of B, there is a little added text. It's or a metropolitan park district. So I will read out A, and then B is similar, which I'll skip. A, playground, means a public outdoor recreation area for children, usually equipped with swings, slides, and other playground equipment owned and or managed by a city, county, state, or federal government. The state definition stops there. The proposed code amendment here would add to that definition a phrase, or a metropolitan parks district. Essentially what it says is playgrounds, if the proposed code amendment is adopted by the City Council, then locally in City of Tacoma, the playground will be defined by not only owned by a city, state, county, or federal government, but also owned by a metropolitan district, period. And similarly for recreation center or facility. For the sake of time, I'm going to jump really quick. Why the proposed amendment? This is to address the gap currently we found between the intent and definitions in the state's law. As you just saw, the state's definition defines that the playground and the other facility as well are owned by state, county, state, or federal government. It does not say it will be owned by Metro Parks Tacoma. So there's a gap there. The state's intent is that the definition should include Metro Parks Tacoma. But the current definition does not have that. So there's a gap, and so there's a request for variance that was submitted to the City of Tacoma and saying the proposed location for our marijuana business is located less than 1,000 feet of a park, and that park has a playground, and that park is owned and managed by Metro Parks Tacoma. Since the current definition does not include Metro Parks, we should get a variance. We should be able to locate our business less than 1,000 feet away from the park. And so this is kind of against the intent of protecting such playground from marijuana uses. But the city had an issue with that variance request. Long story short, the request was granted but eventually denied by the state. And after communication with the state, between state and the state said that it is the intent of the state law to include metropolitan districts, but the current language does not. So it is an unintentional omission of the phrase. The state's plans to revise the state law to include that, but the city council says, we're not going to wait. We'd rather fix our code now. And therefore, the request for Planning Commission to come up with this proposed amendment. And obviously, this is to address the current permitting problems and to provide protection measures for playgrounds and recreation facility until the state fixes the definitions. What's the impact of a proposed amendment? So this map is for illustration purposes. So what you see, all the gray areas or gray bubbles, they are the protected or buffered areas. Any marijuana business cannot be located within gray areas. If you can see those little green dots, those represent the existing marijuana businesses. They are all located outside of any gray area, so we're fine here. The black circles represent Metro Parks Tacoma owned facilities. As you can see, all those are already within the gray areas. So when we did the mapping, those Metro Parks owned facilities were already incorporated in the gray area. And therefore, when we do the permitting, any application for locating any marijuana business will not be able to locate within the gray area. And so with the proposed amendment, we are only clarifying the code language. We are not changing the map, and therefore any existing marijuana business that are located outside of a gray area are fine. Any future businesses would not be able to locate within gray area as of now. And so the impact is no or minimal. I must mention that with this proposed code amendment, it would affect or eliminate the potential opportunity for a future marijuana business who look for variance to be able to locate within 1,000 feet of parks. We take that out, take that opportunity out. But again, the current variance request was denied by the state. So, my last slide is a project schedule. We're currently on step three, today conducting a public hearing before the Planning Commission. The City Council made a request on June 6th with resolution number 39742, asking the Planning Commission to consider this code amendment as an interim regulations. The Commission studied it on June 21st and July 19th and decided that, along with the staff assessment, that instead of interim regulations, which has to be turned into permanent regulations, and if not done in time, the interim regulations has to be extended with 6-month increments, and for each extension requires a City Council public hearing. So it's a tedious process. The Planning Commission and staff decided that this is a simplified clarification to the code and can be taken care of through the normal code amendment process effectively. So we are in that process. The Planning Commission proposed code amendment, conducts a public hearing to receive public comment. And then after that, step four, leaving the record open through September 11th to receive written comments. And then Commission will come back at the next available meeting on either September 20th or October 4th to debrief on what we have heard from public comments and formulate your recommendation to the council. The council will take it from there, spending the next 4 to 6 weeks in October-November timeframe to adopt the proposed code amendment. And finally, after the city, if we adopt the code amendment, we're gonna wait for the state to take its move. As soon as the state fixes code, we'll take a look and see if we need to amend our code again accordingly. Chances are not. So, this is the end of my presentation. I'm gonna put the same slide up here when the public, I'm gonna go there and check the sign up sheet, and the chair will call on people who have signed up to testify. Thank you very much.
So I just wanna make sure, I just got word from somebody that they might have been sent out here to attend a meeting about the Tide Flats, suburb Tide Flats process, the interim regulation process from downtown, which is a meeting going on downtown right now. So I just want to make sure that the two public hearings we have here tonight is over the marijuana stuff, as well as the Tacoma Mall subway plan. So if anybody's here thinking there was a tight left meeting, this is the wrong place. Hopefully they're not sending folks out here. But if anybody's in the wrong spot, I'm happy to talk to you about that.
We've had one person sign up to speak on the proposed marijuana use buffers code amendment, and so I will call that person up, Venus.
Thank you. My name is Venus Durgan. I'm a Manitou resident, and I'm a board member on the South Tacoma Neighborhood Council. I represent the Manitou area. I'm speaking on behalf of myself and another board member, Heidi White, who could not be here tonight. In regards to asking you to please adopt this amendment. This came to our attention when we received permitting notices in the mail in regards to two businesses in Tacoma who wanted to submit a permit to build a marijuana processing facility within 1,000 feet of two parks within our area. And that brought up a cause of concern for both Heidi White and I, and we submitted comments back to the city planner stating that we disagreed with this permit. We don't believe that any marijuana businesses should be within 1,000 feet of a public park or recreational facility or playground where children are. And we submitted our comments to the city planner. When we saw that there were both two permits, I read the recommendations of the examiner because one of the permits was appealed and was sent to the hearing examiner. Upon reading that documentation, myself and Heidi White decided to contact the Tacoma City Council in regards to this. And so Heidi White wrote an email to the City Council stating her concerns regarding this. There seemed to be a lot of convoluted documentation in determining playgrounds versus public parks. And so Heidi White emailed the city council her concerns, to which Councilmember Toms responded back along with another council member, and that's how this resolution came into play. I also contacted Metro Parks in regards to the two parks locations and asked them for their definition of those parks. Are they playgrounds or public parks? And Metro Parks told me those two parks are defined as public parks, which are clarified in the RCW law. But I think this is an added code amendment just so that there's no more confusion regarding playgrounds versus public parks. They don't need to be near where children and families play. I think it's an advertisement to children. I think it's irresponsible of the city of Tacoma and the planning department to allow this to happen, and this amendment needs to be approved. Thank you.
Nobody else had signed up to speak, but I will make one call. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify on the proposed marijuana use buffers code amendment? All right, so I will just remind everybody that we are accepting public written comments on this topic through close of business, 5 p.m. on Monday, September 11th. There are various locations here where you can find where to send those code amendments. And so with that, I will close this public hearing. All right, item D2 on our agenda is the Tacoma Mall Neighborhood Subarea Plan and Environmental Impact Statement. I get to read the same cheat sheet all over again for this one. So we'll call to order the public hearing on the draft Tacoma Mall Neighborhood Subarea Plan and Environmental Impact Statement. The public hearing is being recorded. Those who wish to testify should sign up on the sign-in sheet at the entrance, the front entrance to the room. The staff report and pertinent materials have been made available for your review there. I had to bring my own backpack for all the materials. Elliot will be providing a brief presentation. Say hi, Elliot.
Hello, everyone.
After Elliot's presentation, I will call for oral testimony using the sign-up sheets. Same as we went through over the previous hearing, testimony will be limited to 3 minutes apiece. Your testimony can be brief. It's not necessary to repeat testimony previously given by other people. After the testimony is complete, the public hearing record on this item will remain open to accept written comments until Friday, September 15th, 2017 at 5 p.m. The Planning Commission will consider all oral and written testimony at subsequent meetings. Elliot will be talking about the schedule, and then we'll be forwarding a recommendation onto the City Council. The Council may conduct a study session of its own, hold a public hearing, and then make their final decision after that. So I now call on Elliot Barnett to present this topic. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, Planning Commissioners, and everyone who's come here this very hot afternoon. Thank you very much. I'm really happy to see the room filled with people who are here to comment on and share your insights into this plan for a very important neighborhood of our city. And thanks also to all of the planning commissioners for bearing up in this hot weather. I wanted to mention from the very beginning, if you haven't already found the sign-up sheet over here, this is a good time to go over there and make sure that you get your name on there. That way you'll be called in the order that you sign up. And then at the end, the chair will make sure that everybody who wants to comment has that opportunity. I'm going to go through a presentation that provides an overview of this full package of materials. And I want to thank those of you who have seen portions of this presentation before for your patience, which is many of you. And I also want to apologize for turning my back towards the audience because of the setup here. So I will do my best and thank you. So the meeting objective of this public hearing is really to ask everyone, is really to ask for everyone's input as we're finalizing a package of plan and code changes, as well as an environmental impact statement. Really, it's an opportunity to provide your perspective to help shape the future of the Tacoma Mall neighborhood. And so our objective is to hear from all of you who each have a unique perspective and stake in the neighborhood. The Planning Commission is, of course, listening to this testimony. We are recording it as well, and a transcript will be created. And all this input is going to be invaluable to the Commission, to staff, as we work to finalize this package. It's been a couple of years in the making, and again, thanks to everyone who has contributed to this. In terms of our timeline, we will come back to the Planning Commission at your next two meetings, September the 20th and October the 4th, tentatively. And at those meetings, we will start to go through the public input and comments that we have received and start to flesh out the issues that need further work and analysis and options. At that point, we will tentatively come back in mid-October and ask the Commission to make a recommendation on this package to the full City Council. At that point, the Commission will be able to step back and the City Council will make its decision on the package. So, if all goes according to plan, we will have this project wrapped up this calendar year. In terms of what is in this package of proposals, there are three components, and it's worth going through what each of one of those is. The draft sub-area plan itself is a vision, goals, and actions for the neighborhood. Going over, it's got a total of 11 chapters and multiple goals there. It really sets the vision, sets the policy direction. Proposed for adoption along with the sub-area plan are several appendices, a code changes summary and code changes text, as well as some streetscape design guidelines. So with the plan, it would be a policy adoption, as well as zoning design standard and other changes at the same time. Finally, we're also presenting a draft environmental impact statement. What that is it's really an in-depth review and analysis of all of the required mitigation steps, all of the actions necessary to make this plan work, to make it work for the neighborhood, to handle the impacts of growth, et cetera. The important thing to know about this draft EIS is that it takes the place of project-level CEPA review, which is currently applicable to larger-scale projects in this neighborhood as well as throughout the city. So it's a way of coordinating that review, coming up with the mitigation actions up front, and then streamlining development that's consistent with that plan. So we are about 2 years into the process, which has had a very broad community engagement component to it, as well as some very specific technical analysis. So starting about a couple of years ago, we did a major push, similar to what we just got finished doing, mailing, email, media, various different, every way that we could to reach out to the people who live and work and own property in the neighborhood. And did a very intensive push in late 2015. Through that, we came up with some themes in terms of what the neighborhood needs to be a place that a lot of people are gonna want to be, invest, live, and shop. And some of those key themes were that this is we need to work on a more positive identity, a sense of place here. It needs to be more walkable, bikeable, and transit ready. Parks, open space, and green infrastructure are very much needed here. We need to continue to support economic development and growth here in this area, which is a very important employment base for Tacoma. Safety, both in terms of the neighborhood and in terms of our streets. Access for the people who live here to services, needs, healthy, affordable food. Housing affordability and choice, and other elements needed to make this a healthy community. Those are some of the key themes that we started out with, started the process, and became the foundation or the objectives of the policies that we're bringing forward now. We also have a regional and city policy framework. This is a designated regional growth center, as you know, meaning that this is where, as a region, we have gotten together and said we're going to support jobs and housing growth here with infrastructure investment in order to make that work. So this is something that, this is a vision that's been in place for over 20 years, and there really has been a lot of growth and change during that period. This is our opportunity to try to shape it and direct it and encourage further growth that's consistent with the community's desires. Perhaps the main theme animating all of our discussions are the desire to shift the character of this neighborhood from its current more suburban, more auto-oriented structure to one which is just more focused on people, both in terms of transportation options, in terms of making a place that people actually want to be, placemaking, positive identity, and so forth. So we proposed a pretty ambitious vision for this neighborhood, to make it a thriving center of regional significance and a distinctive, connected, livable, and healthy place with opportunities for everyone to live, work, invest, and fulfill their potential. As part of that, there really is a lot of change proposed. However, our overall objective is to try to create the opportunities for change through targeted city investment and other actions so that over time, it's in everybody's interest to see significant change even to the street network and block scale of the neighborhood. There's an urban forum chapter of our plan, which really points out that in many ways, the 600 acres does not hang together as a single connected neighborhood right now. So there are six design ideas which are reflected throughout the plan. Place-based districts in each of the four quadrants of the neighborhood, focusing our density and concentrating on transitions, a loop road and park system, green infrastructure investments, and enhancing the neighborhood's edges and transitions. Coupled with that are the ideas of making this a walkable neighborhood where people could walk within 5 minutes and get to most of what they need on a daily basis that way, and supporting a transition to a transit-ready community. To support that urban form vision, we have a package of proposed zoning changes. To a large extent, the zoning is recommended to continue what's here today, but there are some significant changes. Two areas in Madison and Lincoln Heights are proposed to be zoned for residential as opposed to mixed-use development to reflect their existing character. And we are proposing some, rather than the one-size-fits-all zoning height limits that are here today, high, medium, and lower height limits. And finally, an industrial transition area in an area which is currently light industrial along South Tacoma Way. So it'd be expanding the center and changing the zoning from light industrial to commercial and industrial mixed use. Finally, the Planning Commission asked us to bring forward two alternatives for zoning in the Madison District, which is the area to the west of Pine. And they are up on the screen. The difference is that in the staff recommendation, the height of the core of the area would be 45 feet. In the alternate, there are two areas along Warner Street and at Madison School where the height would be allowed to go up to 65 feet. So that's something that members of the public here may wish to comment on as part of this process today. There is a package of design standards changes, both to residential and commercial development that would take place in the future. The primary thrust of these is really just to make sure that development is oriented towards pedestrians, so that buildings are oriented towards the sidewalk, so that pedestrian pathways and connections are attractive and safe and prominent. There's also some increase in landscaping and street trees requirements, and some commercial design standard changes to drive-throughs and to pedestrian access. It's a very exciting and ambitious transportation and infrastructure package here. And again, we're looking to handle and facilitate 25 plus years of growth in this one plan. And to do that, we know we need to invest heavily in our transportation infrastructure. So the approach here is we have a list of city capital projects which really will transform some of our streets so that they are safe and comfortable for people who are walking and biking, enhance our transit access, create a central transit hub closer to the center of the neighborhood. Very exciting, over $100 million worth of capital projects over the next 25 years. And we do really believe that will not only help with transportation, but also a major placemaking benefit to the neighborhood. In addition, the area currently has several very large blocks, or larger than what is recommended in terms of a urban center district like we're trying to achieve here. So the largest is actually the Tacoma Mall itself, which is over 50 acres without any street connections. And there are some others that are close to 20 acres in size. So the plan does include a proposal to create new street connections along with major private development. And I know that we will hear some comment and input on this topic from people here tonight. As the commission as well knows, we've spent a lot of time talking about this topic. And I will just mention that at the outset, or at the conclusion of our process here, when we come back to you, staff is prepared to come forward with a range of alternatives related to those transportation proposals. So we know we're going to be talking more about those. For the audience, very briefly, why are we emphasizing the importance of creating some new street connections? It boils down in simple terms to, if you have a small number of streets, all the traffic has to go to those streets, so they have to be big streets. That means that it's more difficult to make them attractive and safe for pedestrians. So the more street alternatives that you have, the finer grain street network that you have, the more that you can make those streets calm and attractive and more pedestrian oriented. So that's really the thrust of the connectivity proposal. It also is important in handling in accommodating the growth that we are planning for here, and in promoting a shift in the urban form. So moving on, we have some very exciting green stormwater and tree canopy proposals here. This happens to be an area of the city where it's ideal for green stormwater techniques. That means that water is able to go back into the ground rather than having to get piped out and dumped into the Puget Sound. So that's better in multiple different ways: environment, life of the infrastructure, even creating a new funding source for us to rebuild many of our streets. So very ambitious green stormwater and green streets proposal. In addition, we have proposed a major increase in the amount of tree canopy in the neighborhood here. It's currently about 9%, which is not a lot of trees. And through a range of actions, we believe it's reasonable to reach 25% tree canopy coverage by the year 2040. Parks and open space proposals. The gist of this proposal is that we heard from the beginning that residents here really would like to have more attractive and safe places for children and for people of all ages to be in the neighborhood, and that was one of the main missing features here. So the plan is proposing some parks principles, including a park or open space in each of the four quadrants of the sub area, and then connected by a green loop road that would allow you to walk from one to the other. So that's the gist of the parks and open space proposals. Madison School is also strongly emphasized in the plan as a very important community hub and asset. Finally, this is very much an economic development plan. From day one, the actions that we have put forward here and been working on are intended to remove barriers that we have heard from the development community are reasons why they would choose not to invest in the area. And those are things like problems with the transportation network, that lack of neighborhood amenities, and other things. So we do really believe this is a way of encouraging growth. The upfront environmental impact review is also very much an economic development strategy. And finally, we have a chapter that really focuses on other things we can do to promote growth and investment here. Housing choices are also something we have heard over and over from the community, are a very big issue here. While this area is currently affordable as compared to other areas of Tacoma, that could change with time. And in particular, if we really channel a lot of growth here, it could really exacerbate affordability. So the housing chapter includes actions and benchmarking to try and track that issue and take more action if it becomes a big problem in the future. So local culture and identity. What makes a neighborhood an attractive place to be? A lot of that has to do with just attractive places, places where people can gather and have community events. It has to do with making the public infrastructure not only functional, but again, attractive, and doing things to bring in public art and support local culture. So we're very excited about some of those actions. And finally, in the implementation chapter, we've proposed a prioritization of the actions in the plan. One of the most important is to initiate a funding study early on in the implementation of the sub-area plan, in particular to focus on those infrastructure investments and the connectivity proposals. Very last point, while the city is bringing this forward, many of the actions would need to be implemented by other public agencies, Metro Parks, transit agencies, the school district, as well as private property owners who, after all, are the people who would be investing and growing our economy. And of course, by people who live here. So this plan is not intended as the city's plan, but as the community's plan. So we're over halfway through our public comment period. Comments are requested and due by September the 15th. I really hope everybody will comment during that time. I wanted to provide the Planning Commission with a brief overview of the themes that we've been hearing so far in our comments. We have gone to the Transportation Commission, as well as the Bike and Pedestrian Technical Advisory Group, again, to focus primarily on connectivity on proposed South 37th Street, which is one of the proposed new streets, as well as on the overall transportation proposals. So we are expecting comments from both of those two groups. And I think it's fair to say that they wrestled with those issues, the same ones that the Planning Commission has, in terms of seeing the need and the importance of additional streets and needing to make sure that it's fair, equitable, avoids impacts to property owners and businesses, and is feasible. So their comment letters will speak for themselves, but do expect those. We also had the informational meeting last Wednesday right here in this room. And during that session, of course, the street network and connectivity was a very big theme. A lot of people wanted to talk about design standards, so I expect that you'll hear some more comments on that. Parking comes up a lot, functional and attractive yard space, development that has front doors facing alleys, that's something that we'll continue to hear about. I expect we'll also hear comments on the zoning proposals, in particular the industrial transition areas. There are some more industrial uses in those areas, and those folks may come forward and have something to say about them, which I hope that they will. And then residential heights. Again, we are proposing some height changes there, so that's something that people have been asking about. I already mentioned housing affordability. That continues to be an emerging issue, and I expect we'll hear on that as well. Making the neighborhood more safe, reducing crime, addressing nuisances, a lot of enthusiasm about parks and open space, and I would also just say a lot of enthusiasm for the capital projects, the transportation projects, and the green environmental projects, the parks and open space proposals have come through as priorities. I would encourage everybody here tonight to let us know, let the commission know what you think your priorities are. There's a lot in this plan, and we would love to know, we'd love to have your help in prioritizing implementation. So again, written comments are due by September the 15th. Between now and then, on September the 13th, the City Council IPS Committee, the Infrastructure Planning and Sustainability Committee, will be doing a bus tour of the neighborhood. And a quick order of business, I wanted to ask planning commissioners who are able to attend that, despite your busy schedule, would you let us know tonight so that we can just confirm and make sure we have the voice of the Planning Commission can be represented there. And after that, again, we'll be back before you with some of the summarized comments that we've heard from the public on the 20th and October 4th. And October 18th, again, we hope that we'll be able to bring forward a package for your consideration to recommend to the City Council. And last word, I hope I haven't spoken too long, to everyone here tonight, if there's any way that I or other people can help you to understand the proposals, please don't hesitate to let us know. I'm happy to come talk to you in your workplace or residence, and we really would like to hear from you. So thank you for your patience with my presentation.
Thank you very much, Elliot. So we will now begin the public testimony process. I'm going to receive the sign-in list. Okay. All right. So it appears that we have 17 people signed up to speak. When I call your name, and what I'm going to do is call up three names at a time. So we'll invite a speaker up, and then the next two people in queue will know who they are. You'll be speaking from that microphone in the center of the room. It's important for the with this extensive record and for this extensive plan that we are able to identify you by name, your address, and your affiliation for the record. Looks like many of you have already signed that information up here. If you haven't provided that to us, please provide your name, address, and affiliation, and we can get that on the record. After exhausting the sign-up sheets, I'll do what I did on the previous hearing and open it up for other people to come forward. As with the other hearing, testimony is limited to 3 minutes. So with that, I will begin in the order that was signed up. Forgive me, between my glasses and the long day. Valerie Fialca Munoz,
yes.
Followed by John Breca and Elena Breca.
Hi, I'm Valerie Fialca Munoz. I have been in real estate for 40 years in the Tacoma.
We can't hear.
Oh, in the Tacoma area. I'm from Tacoma. Wait, let me start over. I'm Valerie Fialca Munoz. I have been in real estate for 40 years in the Tacoma area. I'm from Tacoma. I helped manage Michael's Plaza at 2921 South 38th. I have been going to the Tacoma Mall neighborhood meetings for over a year. The Tacoma Mall neighborhood plan places an excessive burden and encumbers Michael's Plaza with new roads on the median term and long-term vision maps. The roads in 37th Street will restrict businesses, devalue the property, and restrict the ability for future development. The topography has a difficult 20-foot slope coming off of Pine Street. The cost to construct a road will be a costly endeavor and will restrict the property. Presently, Michael's Plaza has 8 entrances for ingress and egress. The city planners would be wiser to develop and improve the existing road system and not encumber and burden the commercial property owners with 37th and other roads. The Tacoma Mall neighborhood plan is an excessive taking of private property rights. The plan is unconstitutional. The nexus and proportionality is unreasonable. We are going to defend our constitutional rights and will let the courts decide. Thank you.
Thank you. John Brecka, Eleanor Brecka, and Nikki Roloff.
I'm Eleanor Brecka.
And John Brecka.
And we're going to do our testimony together since we'll each have 3 minutes. But we are brother and sister, and our parents developed the raw land in the Northwest Quadrant 35 years ago, which is now Cedar Plaza. And our family takes great pride in our property. We also own commercial real estate in several other urban transition areas, such as Soto, South Center, and downtown Auburn. We have been participating in this process for over a year now. Overall, we are for having a subarea plan. I'd like to start by specifically stating what we like about the subarea plan. The city's interest in the neighborhood, creating a transit center and working to bring rail to the area, bringing more of an identity to the area and creating a destination, improvements to existing streets, grant money for street improvements and helping revitalize the neighborhood, recognizing the neighborhood is residential, commercial, and industrial in nature.
We've had a chance to read through the several hundred pages, and the one overriding theme that is still of concern is connectivity. And this is shared by not just us, but the 30 or 40 other people that expressed, commercial property owners and businesses that expressed these concerns earlier on in the process in the stakeholder meetings that went on. We need to arrive at a connectivity plan that allows owners to operate their properties and businesses, and we don't want to stifle development in this neighborhood. We have an above average vacancy rate in our well-managed project, and we're receiving rents in the Kent Valley in some of our warehouses higher than the rents we're receiving in our complex here. So it needs to be done right. And we're not starting with raw land. That's what our family started with 35 years ago when we developed this center. And if we are gonna make connectivity changes, it needs to happen when the bulldozers are out, when it possibly becomes raw land, and there needs to be room for incremental development on the sites where additions can be made to the buildings, additional small buildings can be added to the site, and not before that. A 15% trigger point has been mentioned in the plan, and that's far too low and is out of touch. So the other major concern is the filing of connectivity plans. These plans will burden the property for the next 15 to 20 years, large parts of the property. It requires the property owners to negotiate with the city, negotiate with neighboring property owners, and it's really rather unrealistic in nature. And it's going to stifle development and stagnate the area. And I don't think we don't want that. I don't believe anybody in Tacoma wants that, so we need to be wise about what we're proposing. And with a connectivity requirement of a pathway of various sizes every 150 feet, you're talking about dividing a 16-acre parcel into 32 smaller chunks of half an acre apiece. That is very far-reaching in nature, and there's room for connectivity in the sub-area. There already is some connectivity in the sub-area, but there's also justification for larger parcels with, and we've seen that need with the University of Washington and University of Washington Tacoma branch, the Convention Center, the Tacoma Dome, the Central Police Facility, the mall, corporate campuses, mid-sized shopping centers and such. So there needs to be room, and it makes sense to have room for those larger parcels along with some smaller parcels in nature.
The last thing I'd like to bring up is something that we've previously shared, and it's we continue to question the cost benefit of 37th Street. When there are viable alternatives at lower costs and without topography issues and significant right-of-way acquisitions. For example, extending 35th Street and Cedar Street to connect to South Tacoma Way and the Water Flume Trail. If the proposed 37th Street is deemed necessary by the city, then it should be a Tier 1 street, which is city-led, city-funded right-of-ways, acquisitions, and city-constructed. Thank you.
All right, so we have Nikki Roloff, Kate Lantoff, and Zach.
So. Hi, my name is Nikki Roloff, and I live in the Tacoma Mall neighborhood. I'll be honest, I thought that was just a sign-in for the meeting. So my comments are informal, but just to give perspective for somebody who lives in that area. I live in the apex right by the mall. I basically tell people I live in the Tacoma Mall parking lot. But in that short little block from where I live to the mall, I only have a sidewalk that goes halfway to the mall. There's no crosswalk to go over to the pet store, to Joann's, and getting over to Red Robin is nearly impossible. So even though I live right there and could walk to anything in a minute, it's nearly impossible. So sidewalks, I think, are great and would be a priority. I'm excited about the new I-5 ramp going directly to Tacoma Mall Boulevard. That intersection at 38th and Steele is a nightmare, especially with Chick-fil-A. And I feel with all of the multifamily units that have been going in, a great idea in the green area would be a dog park, an unleashed dog park for the people who don't have a place for their dogs now. And then with the multi-unit living spaces, I would just encourage more parking. Right now where I live, we have 5 parking garages, and it's still not enough to accommodate everybody that lives there, and heaven forbid if you want to have a guest over. Nearly impossible. So, thank you.
Zach Kleinman? No? Jack Nottingham? Jeffrey Mann? No Jeffrey's here. After Jeffrey will be Angelia Alexander.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. Jeff Mann with Pierce County Planning and, well, Planning and Public Works now, a new department, and representing the county's interest in our annex campus that is located within the plan area. I've been on the stakeholder group for the last couple years, and we asked in 2015 to be a part of the plan, and we're grateful that we were included in the plan, and of course want to see our and feel like we are an asset to the plan area as a major employer, and that's recognized in the plan, page SP 17. I appreciate that's recognized as an asset as a major employer. We've been very supportive of some of the key concepts of the plan. The loop road, I think that's a wonderful concept with improved crossings on 38th. Also the stormwater management approaches there, the low-impact development techniques, the Green Streets program, and the increased parks and recreation areas, as well as the zoning scheme, which we feel is appropriate for the annex campus. We've made a couple of recommendations, among other things, to provide a transit connection between the Tacoma Dome and the sub-area plan area, and feel like that's necessary. And also, we've had a recommendation for additional parkland closer to the annex campus. However, our primary concern with the plan is the impact of the connectivity proposal, specifically with regard to the bike boulevard street connection from South 35th to South Tacoma Way, which is on Wright Avenue. That is shown in the plan area as completely bisecting the annex campus, including going right through the existing building, and would have a significant impact on our potential to develop this site in the future. We may need to use the site for a significant county facility and a street going directly across the property would have a significant impact. It is a bike boulevard. If it's just something that goes around a building through a parking lot, that's different than doing an actual boulevard right through the middle of the property. That boulevard does connect to Wright Avenue, which is about a 10 to 15% grade, so it'll be very difficult for a biking. I don't see anybody using it now, and don't foresee that being used in the future. So our request, kind of bottom line, is, and it's not shown on the priority maps for that road, but our request is that that road crossing the annex campus would be deleted from the plan, and so that we can continue to use that site as a major employer and further the goals of the sub-area plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Angelia, is that right? Alexander, followed by Amy Powell and Venus Durden.
I'm the clerk, which means something like a chairperson, for the Tacoma Friends meeting, which is the Quaker meeting, whose meeting house is located at the top of South 39th Street on the hill, the eastern end. If you leaped off the end of that street, you'd land on Chick-fil-A, just to give you an idea where we are for sure. The original map I saw of the plans for bike paths, by the way, had a bike path going down there. And I think I was able to convince Elliot that that wouldn't work. Didn't see it on any of the subsequent maps. I too thought I was just signing up to let you all know I was here. So I'll try to keep this brief and speak from the heart. It struck me pretty early on that this whole area has not really much of a sense of place or neighborhood. And I think we've struggled with that over the conversations in the last year. Nobody could come up with a substitute name for it, for example. That'll come with time, but it means that people who work, own property, live here, and so on, need to have a sense of what that identity and sense of place is. That means to me that the neighborhood development, the business side developments, and all of that have to be sensitive to quality as well as quantity, and also to the kinds of costs it can mean to the business owners, for example. You've already heard about that. On one of the original plans that I saw, it looked as if the city was going to be prepared to buy us out on our little place at the top of the hill. And I don't think that's going to happen anymore either. We might choose to sell to the city, but I don't think the city's planning to buy us out. If it ends up that way, I'll be surprised. But we're primed to be a kind of spot that could connect well to whatever parks might be planned for that green space that's just to the east of that huge post office complex. That's undeveloped land, and it could be perhaps developed better into some kind of parks, green space. Well, I guess that's probably all I can think of to say at the moment. I will be bringing this topic up to our Quaker meeting. We have our business meeting this coming Sunday around 11:15. If anybody would like to see how we Quakers do business, we come to unity around whatever we're going to decide. I would suggest that you all think about moving in that direction so that property owners who would like to have a better quality for their residences and the business owners who would like us to be sensitive to their needs don't ever feel like any of them are losers in this whole concept. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Amy Powell, Venus Durgan, and then Christian Kapowski. Massacred that one. But, thank you.
Good Amy. Evening, Planning Commissioners. I'm Amy Powell, Principal Planner for Tecumseh Pierce County Health Department. Thank you for collaborating with the Health Department to develop this very important area plan. This neighborhood is very diverse, filled with a lot of low-income populations, and it's very transient. Residents in this area has experienced a very high health disparities and a shorter life expectancy than average Tacomans. Last year, the board has adopted a resolution on health in all policies, encouraging cities and towns to consider health in all decision making. We have demonstrated with your city staff how this can be done in your sub-area plan. We have partnered with the city and with stakeholders in the last 30 months to infuse health in every step of decision making. We outreached and empowered local residents to understand their needs to make it more livable in this area. Above all, we also apply a triple bottom line health framework to make sure that health is embedded in each chapter in throughout the plan to create the vision that we all envisage for. There are several health issues that we hold very dear to our heart from the get-go of this planning process. Amongst them, we are particularly concerned about the possible involuntary displacement of low-income residents in this neighborhood as the economy and the environment improves over time. We strongly feel that maintaining the current level of affordable housing in this neighborhood is crucial. Besides, we try our best to make sure the local residents will champion on to implement this plan, as well as to welcome newcomers to join them to build this neighborhood together. To actualize walkable urbanism, there are many good policies and actions in this plan, including a playable loop road, the Madison School Hub, tree canopies, and green infrastructure. The only comment that the Health Department particularly concerned is that the current performance measures in the health chapter, talking about the target performance for the entire neighborhood, is too low. Our quick analysis shows us that according to American Community Survey, 5-year estimates, about 90% of the current housing stock of the entire neighborhood is renting less than $1,250 per month. And 25% is actually renting less than $750. To help minimize the impact of gentrification, we strongly encourage the city to maintain a closer percentage of affordable housing units for the entire neighborhoods over time for those low and very low income neighbors. Today, I encourage you to support this plan to the Council for Adoption together with the DIS, with our comments being incorporated. Once fully implemented, I'm sure the social fabric and the economy will be improved. The natural environment will be improved as well, and the motor vehicle traffic will be reduced. And after all, health and equity will be bettered. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we have Christian is next. Venus. Venus Durgan, Christian, and then Fran?
Francesca,
thank you. All right, so Venus.
Okay, hello again. My name is Venus Durgan. I'm a longtime resident in South Tacoma. Live in Manitou, and I'm a Manitou representative. I, again, had just signed up just to state that I was here, but I did make a couple of notes because I did attend the meeting last Wednesday. And I'm just going to follow up to the lady here in regards to affordable housing. That was one of the notes that I made. I've lived in South Tacoma most of my life, and I represent people who I believe A lot of us are median to low income, and we have a lot of seniors that live in our area as well. And when you have an AMI that's too high, I don't think that these multifamily dwellings are really considered affordable housing at the rents that you plan on renting them out at. And that was one of the concerns that I had. I also viewed a couple as a person who might want to rent one of these apartments that have just been developed. And a couple of things that I noticed in regards to those apartments is that my quality of life living in those apartments, and what I've noticed is I saw multifamily dwellings that had the front door in the alley. I would not want my front door in the alley. I don't know why that design was ever allowed, but I would not want my front door in the alley. There's no open space. They're stacked on top. You're stacked on top of each other. There's no open space for children. There's no parking for anybody who has a vehicle of any size. So I don't know anybody with a large vehicle who would be able to be accommodated at one of these apartments. I think that where the height restriction is too high. I saw a rendering of 38th Street, the new design, and the height of 65 feet is too high. I like a skyline myself, and I didn't see a skyline there. And I think if you want to live in a concrete or work in a concrete jungle, you need to keep that in the downtown area and not in the South Tacoma area. That's my feeling. And in regards to transit, I asked that in regards to transit, that the transit station have a stop at the mall again like it used to. Being across the street from the mall is burdensome to every disabled senior, anybody who has to get to the mall. And I think it's dropped people coming to the mall because the transit bus drop-off is across the street. I took the bus once in the winter and had to walk from across the street to the mall, and I swore I'd never do it again, and that's because my vehicle was broken down. I don't know how the elderly do it. I don't know how disabled people do that, but it has to be reconsidered in the plan that people be dropped off. If you want viability at the Tacoma Mall and people to attend the Tacoma Mall, the transit center needs to be there at the mall where people can have access, direct access to the mall. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we have Christian, then Francesca, and Beverly.
Okay, I'm Christian. I'm here to represent myself and Francesca. We own a multifamily property in the area that's under discussion. And while I'm in favor of a lot of the concepts in the plan, the city has failed to implement a number of the concepts that are already in the plan, namely paving streets, sidewalks, stormwater. We've had 2 years now of new taxes that are supposed to be funding this. We have third world streets in our neighborhoods. We have no sidewalks. We have gigantic lakes when it rains. And the city is not funding any of these neighborhoods. They're funding streetscaping projects in the Lincoln District or downtown. And we want to spend $100 million on this project. I object to any funding by the city for any new projects until they bring the city's infrastructure standards of streets, sidewalks, and stormwater drainage up to modern standards.
So that was Christian speaking on behalf of himself and Francesca. So that means Beverly Bowen Bennett, Gerald Pleasant, and Stuart Johnston. And then Stuart is actually the last person that signed up. And as I mentioned earlier, after we exhaust the sign-in list, I'll see if there's anybody else who wishes to speak who hasn't already spoken.
Thank you. There's a man who understands the short rhythm when he sees her. Does that count on my 3 minutes?
No. Okay. We'll start the 3 minutes now.
All right. I wanted to make sure that you knew that I read this entire document and understand it perfectly. Not. I stalk him because he works by where I walk. I think it's his fault, not mine. I'm going to limit myself to 3 points tonight because you only gave me 3 minutes. no front doors on alleys. Now, I read in one of those documents that we were going to kind of make it okay if the developer was willing to make it look like a street or a mews. Well, I say then if it's a street or a mews, the front door is not on the alley. So there would be no reason in God's green earth that it could not say in clear terms that everyone would understand, no front doors on alleys. And actually, in the very original document that was given to me, Elliot, at the very, very first meeting and showed the goals of this plan, no front doors on the alley was one of those goals. I was surprised when I found that. Now I want to talk about Metro Parks. It has come to my attention that the matrix that they use for deciding where to put their parks has to do with the geography of an area and nothing to do with the population. So the number of apartments, townhouses, four-bedroom units that are now existing in the west, southwest quadrant of the Cook Sub-Area Plan is not reflected as a need. We have one little corner, according to one of the pictures in there, that says that we are not currently having enough parks. Did any of you go by that park that is not a park, that is in the Lincoln Heights? It's not a park. But I tell people there's a park there, they say, where? Then when they go by, they say, oh, yeah, I see it now. But it's not a park. And then I'm going to stand up for the wall markers, mall walkers. I said that wrong. Mall walkers. It has come to my attention. I know in the winter I've been doing it, walking in the mall. And rather than the rain or the snow, I go to the mall. There are hundreds of people of all ages that walk in the mall. We even have a secret entrance where we go in before it's quite ready for us to go in and walk the mall. There's a gentleman who comes all the way from Eatonville to walk our mall because the mall that's in Puyallup on the South Hill is not conducive for walking. So when we talk about our connectivity, it's a little scary to me if we do something to make it difficult for the mall walkers to do their loops. So I know it's a small thing, but there really are hundreds of people who walk every single day in that mall. Thank you.
All right, the last two people that we have signed up are Gerald Pleasant and Stuart Johnston. No? Gerald, Stuart, neither of you? All right, well, that concludes the list of people that had signed up to testify. If you have not already spoken tonight, but you would like to avail yourselves of 3 minutes to speak your piece to the Planning Commission, I would invite you to first raise your hand to let me know if there is anybody interested. See a couple people. All right, so could you, we don't have another sign-in list, do we? Oh, we do? Okay, so let's do this. We'll just start at the front of the room and work our way back. Either before you speak or right after you speak, if you would do me the favor and write your name down on the sign-in sheet, then we have the record. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Bob Bearden. I've been working with Elliot and his group since the onset of this project started. And just like Beverly before me, I have read the EIS, okay? Believe it or not, I borrowed it from him last week and was able to finish it. There's a couple of issues in there that is disconcerting, that either the public did not get a chance to or really state what they really wanted to, even though we heard it at these numerous public groups. One is the vegetation. The mayor wants 40% of the town covered in the next 10 years. Okay, we know we're getting rid of the mayor, no problem there. However, what has been decided is deciduous trees versus evergreen. The Tacoma has a problem in the winter with the pollution in the air. Most of us old folks and younger ones or those with disabilities have problems breathing during that time. If you continue to plant deciduous at 60% versus 40%, that's not going to help us. Besides that, as was previously stated, this is a transient community. Nobody takes care of the gutters. They wait until there's huge water puddles out there and then calls the city as an emergency. Evergreen trees will prevent that. So we need to take a look at the types of trees that's going to be presented overall. And this is going on for future projects throughout Tacoma also. Another thing is when the city brought in designers to start this project, they brought them in from New York City and Washington, D.C. You probably know who they are already. You probably talked to them. They continually talked about people enjoying their afternoon on stoops. Tacoma does not have stoops. New York City and Washington, D.C. has stoops. Now, for those who don't know what stoops are, it's their front porch or their steps, which is right on top of the sidewalk next to the roadway. In other words, there is no yard. There's nothing but street, sidewalk, and stoops to sit on. Kids and family does not have an opportunity to sit out and enjoy what little summer we do have here in Tacoma. So we really need to get rid of that concept design where people's going to sit on their front porch and love what Tacoma has to offer. Development. Development had a strong input into this project. Development came on strong at almost every community meeting saying that we need. We need the city to give us this and this and this. We need to stop giving development everything in the world. 10 years worth of tax-free property, 10 years worth of tax-free water sewer. We need to stop doing this and make the developers responsible for brown water recycling in the future. They can build a multi-level apartment complex and not be responsible for collecting rainwater or anything else within their building. Technology has allowed us to do this on numerous occasions. So to cut down even the water issues in the non-serious sewer, but definitely brown water, they can make some recycling or utilize holding tanks on brown water instead of just putting it down the sewers and sending it on down the system. They can utilize this. It is important that, and Elliot caught this, that development and city and community buy into these things together so that parks that can be built outside of large apartment buildings or whatever can be possibly purchased by the developers and put in place, maintained by the Parks Department or whatever, on addition to what's already being planned, which is, as Beverly suggested, doesn't really fit the population of where people live. I mean, it's great if you're a bicyclist, you've got places to stop along the way between Mercantile, but not residential. So my time's up, but thank you very much, folks, for listening.
Thank you very much for your time tonight. Make sure you sign up on that sheet that he has right back there. I don't know who signed up next, so just...
I'm taller than that. My name is John Burkhalter. I represent Michael's Plaza, and I know I've stand before you many times talking about connectivity. And I would do want to thank you for listening to us and taking in our comments. And I'd like to thank Elliot for, I'm sure, countless more meetings that he's been to than I have. You know, the plan is needed. I mean, we need to have a plan. We need to know where we're going in the future. The idea is to have thoughtful growth and revitalization, which the community in that area really needs and we would love to see. I even heard Elliot mention today that, you know, the plan is to promote growth. And I agree with that. But some of the things in the plan, I think, don't promote growth. And, you know, as you well know, one of those issues for us is connectivity. And the reason being is we currently have 65 feet of height in zoning, and we will not build a project that's 65 feet tall in the next 20 years, unfortunately, unless something radical happens. And so by requiring dedication of right-of-way and all the improvements that go along with that, and I think you guys, I don't know if you heard my speech in the Transportation Commission, but we're talking an acre and a half of roads, sidewalks, for every acre that's roughly 20,000 cubic feet of detention and storage at 10 bucks a foot. It would be about $300,000 for just that, not to mention the collection systems, the asphalt, the curbs and gutters. I can't even remember the numbers, but it's a lot of money, and it all adds up. So if we can't build the 65-foot project now, the zoning that we're getting out of the plan is 75 feet, up to 120 feet with bonuses. You can see where that devalues the property because we can't even build a project today. So in some respects, by having such a vision, we're actually stifling growth. And so I was hoping that the commissioners would think about potentially stepping back and maybe softening the language, you know, at least saying, hey, when the development happens, you need to look at this and you need to provide, you know, consultants and information about how that connectivity would benefit your project or our project and, you know, benefit the neighborhood. I'm sure it would benefit the neighborhood. I'm not sure it would benefit our project, but that's a whole other story. And then if we couldn't think about that, maybe think about the idea where, you know, if we're going to have ground floor retail, it certainly behooves us to provide sidewalks and connectivity to make sure that we have plenty of storefronts and plenty of opportunities for people to, you know, spend money and bring in sales tax. So if we could, you know, we can do biking, we can do pedestrian stuff, but we don't have to dedicate a road to do it. There's so many things that come out of that that cause problems for development that I just hope that you will think about that. And then one final thing is, in the interim to get there, to make sure that whatever the triggers are, and I'm a little scared about some of those triggers, Elliot, that they aren't too onerous, meaning, hey, why do I need to come up with a plan for connectivity when you already told me what the connectivity plan is? So that was kind of things like, I don't want to write a report, hire some consultants, and spend $25,000 in order to, you know, do a 10,000 square foot addition, things like that. And then one final thought was, I was reading in the zoning code stuff, and it said, oh, hey, if you have X amount of foot or you built something right next to it, right way over here, that you would have connection to it. And I was thinking, I thought that was already sort of in the building code as part of ADA. It was like, hey, you need to be able to get out of a building, have an ADA access to the right-of-way, I'm assuming in case of an emergency or something. So I just, some stuff to think about. Anyway, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. J.J. McCammett, McCammett and Rogers, 708 Broadway in downtown Tacoma. Elliot had challenged us at last week's public meeting about coming up with our vision for the northwest quadrant of the Tacoma Mall sub-area plan. And I cannot say that there has been any work done on a northwest vision with all of the property owners, and I'm not a property owner either. But being familiar with the area, I thought that I would put together some rough notes and at least share those with you. So, Elliot, this is in response to your request. my vision for the Northwest Quadrant, I'm speaking only for myself, city-led improvements and economic development efforts that help create a strong and healthy neighborhood economy necessary to spur a fresh look and feel for the neighborhood where pride of ownership is evident and property owners and tenants prosper. An overall cool physical setting that encourages property owners to invest in their properties, existing businesses to expand, and new businesses to bring jobs, services, and entertainment. The private dollar follows the public dollar as the Northwest Quadrant responds to stronger market demand. In essence, a rising tide that lifts all boats. Contributing to the fresh look and reputation for the Northwest Quadrant, a couple items that I saw. Newly surfaced streets with underground utilities, street trees, sidewalks, street lights, sidewalks built the length of every street, and bicycle and pedestrian connections to regional trails. Landscaped commercial frontages with regular maintenance, crime-free and garbage-free, tasteful signage, South Cedar and 35th extended westerly to connect to South Tacoma Way and the Water Flume Trail, expanded Pierce Transit bus service and a new Sound Transit station to serve the neighborhood, and finally, a medical campus, restaurants and entertainment that combine to make this a happening place both day and night. Thank you.
All right. Since I don't have the sign-in sheet, Justin.
Stole my thunder. Justin Layton. I live in the Hilltop, 2149 South M Street. I'm going to do what I affectionately call the David Bow, where I'm going to wear several hats, and I will let you know when I take one hat off and put on another. The first hat that I'm going to put on tonight is I'm the co-chair of the Transportation Commission. And at our last meeting, we had a good discussion with Elliot about this sub-area plan, and it is my understanding that at one of your meetings you had sought the Transportation Commission's point of view on 37th Street. We haven't had an opportunity to get there yet. However, I just want to let you know we do have a subcommittee working on it. We will discuss it at our next meeting and get a comment letter to the Planning Commission what we think, not just about 37th Street, but generally how the plan in a transportation perspective fits into the rest of the city and what the transportation master plan is telling Beverly. Only us nerds carry around plans in our cars and in our bags. Taking that hat off and just putting on Citizen Justin hat, I've had the great opportunity to doorbell this district three times over. And talking with these neighbors about their community, folks like Beverly Bowen Bennett, and not just walking through their neighborhood, but understanding what they want. And I think that we all want a shared community that is vibrant, that we encourage places where we live, work, and play all in the one spot so we don't have to rely on our vehicles. I think it's quite interesting. We talk a lot about walkability. And in the current environment, and this is not just in this neighborhood, but in all parts of our own city and other cities, these large parking lots, if you end up having to park at the end of it, there's no sidewalks to get you from your car all the way to the front door of the businesses. That's today. In fact, I actually encouraged the Planning Commission to work with the Transportation Commission to figure out code to address that issue now for the entire city. When I think about street trees and lighting and curb gutters, I think about a city. And I am lucky enough to travel around not just this country but the world, but the places I find myself wanting to continue to come back to are places that have all of these elements. The master plan talks a lot about super blocks and not creating those, and we need to break down those barriers. There are reasons why conductivity is important. It goes to the health of folks, from what we've heard from the Department of Health. When we encourage walking, when we encourage biking, when we encourage folks to use transit, they're healthier. And when we have a healthier community, they're actually cheaper for us to serve on. I was able to co-chair the Hilltop Subarea Plan. It took a long time. In fact, Commissioner Waller was a part of that effort. And I understand that this plan, just like that plan, is very aspirational, and it's going to take years and decades to even see it through. And nothing is in this, these two plans are saying that it has to happen today or it's being forced upon you. And my last comment, if I may, as a fellow commissioner and served on other communities, it's our jobs to not just hear what is being heard today, but also try and represent those people that don't have the privilege to come to this meeting tonight because they're putting food on the table for their kids, or they're at work, or they just didn't have the ability to get here. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, was there anybody else? Okay, so I'll remind everybody that the Planning Commission will continue to accept oral testimony on this topic through Friday, September 15th, 2017 at 5 p.m. And with that, I will close the public hearing. Did I say written testimony? Yeah, written testimony, excuse me. Thank you, Vice Chair Peterson. At the conclusion of oral testimony, state that written comments may be submitted. All right, so we are moving on to... We have two communications items on the agenda. So we'll start with Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the commission. So just to reiterate your communication items, first of all, you will be conducting a special meeting next Wednesday, September 13th. It's a special meeting because it's scheduled outside of the regularly scheduled first and third Wednesdays meeting. And this particular meeting on the 13th will be a public hearing. The subject of a public hearing is the proposed tide flats area land use interim regulations. The location will be the Greater Tacoma Convention Center. The starting time of the public hearing is 6 p.m. For interested citizens can check more information on this web address, www.cityoftacoma.org/tideflatsinterim. The second item is the Council's IPS committee will be conducting the tour.
Mr. Wong, before
yes.
we go on to that, could I ask the commissioners to like to show hands of commissioners that are planning to attend next Wednesday's hearing. Make sure that we are not running into a quorum problem. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is that a yes or a maybe? That's a yes. So that's six commissioners. Okay. I unfortunately will be traveling out of town. Some family matters have come up, so that is six members. That is just one above our quorum.
That's correct.
So that directly relates into the next item. So let's transition to the IPS tour.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to call on Elliot to talk about this IPS tour that will get into your scheduling of the 6 o'clock public hearing. Elliot?
Testing. Thanks, Jeff. Chair Wambach, the IPS committee is going to be conducting a tour. It will start at 4:30, and we're trying to get it done by 5:45, partially because of your other commitment that night. And previously, we had had four planning commissioners express willingness to go along on this ride. And we do think it would be valuable and important to have commissioners there who can kind of listen and relay information back and forth. So there's no question of the value, but at the same time, you're very busy. So hoping to get it done by 5:45. In fact, if you wanted to make sure you were done by, say, 5:30, we could work with you and figure out where to leave your car on the route and be sure to get you at least a half an hour to go from one meeting to the next. There had been four commissioners expressing interest, and great, I see Commissioner Edmonds, I think, expressing that you can join us on that tour, so that is great. Are there other commissioners who are able to carve that time out? Going once.
So I think that Commissioner Beal had expressed an interest, but I'm not sure. I've been playing email tag. I'm not sure if he's actually going to be available next week. The thing that I am concerned about, again, I apologize, I'm not going to be able to be in town, but it's crucial that we have a quorum of commissioners present so we can start the hearing at 6 p.m. Since we are expecting so many people to attend, I would say that the hearing at 6 p.m. is far more important than joining the city council. So I think if Commissioner Edmonds is the only commissioner that's going to go on the tour, I think it's good to have a planning commission presence, but at least having five people so we can start the meeting on time, because we may have a lot of people there, and the longer...
I will be there at the meeting.
All right. Well,
good luck on parking.
So that's another thing. Is there any special arrangements made for parking at the convention center for all the attendees? Are the garages going to be open that night? We'll take transit. That's a good idea. Buses in transit? I've heard of those things. Okay. So Commissioner Edmonds will be joining you, Elliot, and we'll get some other folks, as long as we don't run into a quorum problem.
And other folks who are here, if you're interested in joining that tour, come and ask me about it, and I can give you the details. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other business before the commission tonight? Any members have anything else they'd like to add? All right, well, I'd like to thank everybody for joining us tonight. Thank you for staff for arranging this location in the South Tacoma area. And with that, I'll call this meeting closed.